You're listening to the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of this NASCAR podcast, all things NASCAR and everything else in between. Recording this special edition, June 26, 2023. Man, June has flown by pretty quick. Here in Manhattan, Kansas. If you're first time listening to this podcast, of course, welcome aboard to the podcast. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3 wherever you get your podcast. It has been a while since we had a special guest on the show, and we're going to be ramping that up as well as we go through the hot summer months here in 2023 and, of course, into the fall as well. Speaking of special guests, we have one on for you guys this week, and when you listen to this episode, this will be most likely after the inaugural race at Chicago, the Chicago Street Course race coming up this weekend. But right now we have a special guest on the line, driver of this number 74 Rose Holman Chevrolet. She drives part-time in the Arca Menards series, and I saw her at the Kansas Speedway. Well, not saw her, but was when I was in KC, saw her on TV, FS1 race at ARCA, none other than Mandy Chick. Mandy, how are you doing? How are you doing today?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am not too bad. I'm just getting off work here after a busy day of work and surviving the heat. Once again, heat, humidity, all that nice kind of stuff in late July, in late June, excuse me. But doing all right. So we'll get to all the racing stuff here momentarily. But you are originally from DeSoto, Kansas, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm from DeSoto, Kansas. We've lived there since I was 2 years old. And our race shop is actually on our personal property right behind our house there.
Oh, that's a luxury to have your own race shop right in your backyard and not having to go too far, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so nice. We've always had our race shop really on grounds, you know, where we live. And so that's just, it's super convenient to be able to pop out to the shop and get a couple of projects done between different things we have going with our family.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Okay, so I'm going to let you have the floor for a little bit. I have some questions here for you, and we'll get into that as well during this episode. Before that, you're the first Kansas driver to be on this podcast.
I'm so honored. That's awesome.
Yep. I've been wanting really to have guests that are Kansas natives on the show. So you're the first. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited to represent Kansas in all that I do.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Well, Mandy, I'm gonna try to forward for a little bit here for our listeners that are not familiar with your background a little bit. Just tell us about yourself and how did you get to this point?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Mandy Chick. I am 21 years old, and I have been racing since I was 6 years old. I am a third generation racer. My dad and my grandpa raced before I did. From 2001 to about 2005, they owned a NASCAR truck team that fielded some part-time entries in the NASCAR truck series. And then when I started becoming interested in racing when I was about 5 or 6, they sold the NASCAR truck team and decided that developing me as a driver would be their next venture. So our team is family owned. We bought an ARCA team last year. And had our debut at IRP, Lucas Oil Raceway, in Brownsburg, Indiana. So we're super proud of that. We got to race IRP in Milwaukee last year, and then Daytona, Talladega, and Kansas this year, and more on the schedule as well. So super honored to be here, super honored to have the opportunities I have in the ARCA series. I have a long-standing history in racing of 15 years, composed of quarter midgets, dirt modifieds, asphalt late models, some dirt midgets, those types of things. And so I'm really enjoying the ARCA so far.
Awesome. Awesome. So going back a little bit, so has it always been racing with you guys, or did you dive into other sports, or was just mainly focused since you say your dad was into racing, obviously. Was it always just focused on racing and not other sports, if you know know what I mean?
Yeah, growing up, I danced for many, many years, and then I also played volleyball and basketball. I was not particularly fantastic in any of those, and really decided that racing is what I enjoyed. I wanted to do long term, and really had much more skill in that than anything else. So racing was always my primary love, but I did have several things that I was involved in all the way through school, sports wise as well.
Yeah, my 3-year-old daughter just a couple weeks ago just wrapped up her first season of dance, and I can tell she likes it right now. It'll be interesting to see how she, as she gets older, if she still sticks with it or dives into other sports like softball and other stuff like that. So we'll see what it is. We'll see how it is. But right now, she enjoys that type of stuff right now. So it's awesome to see it. From a parent perspective.
Yeah, for sure. That's really awesome.
So your family had bought a ARCA team. Do you know which one ARCA team that you guys bought that from?
We bought the team, the whole thing, from Viscani Motorsports. So it is all ours now. I know that we kept the same number, but we do 100% own the team now. So it is us owning and operating that team.
And did you guys, as a family-operated operation, race around DeSoto, Kansas, like go to different tracks, like quarter midget racing around the state, or did you have to go out of state to do that?
So quarter midget racing, for the first year or so, we did quarter midget racing in Topeka, just to get some experience in under our belts. And then after that, we traveled on the USAC quarter midget national tour and went all across the country. So from San Bernardino, California, all the way to Syracuse, New York, and everywhere in between. I remember one year we counted the number of states we were in, and I was able to travel to and race in 19 different states between February and November of one year, and some of them multiple times.
Ooh, nice.
So that was super fun. I feel like I learned so much as a young child just getting to travel around. I learned about history. I learned about how to operate a race team and be, you know, financially stable. I learned so much during that time.
And what was your favorite state to go to during that 19 state stretch there of racing?
I absolutely loved North Carolina because it is racing central, and every time we got to go there, I got to see a lot of my racing friends who were based in the area, and we got to travel around to race shops and see a lot of the NASCAR Cup teams at the time, and it was really fun. I've always loved North Carolina. It's always been near and dear to my heart.
We're chatting with Mandy Chick, part of the part-time in the ARCA Menards series driver, the number 74, Rose Holman Chevrolet, family owned, here on the 3Y podcast with EG3. Topeka, Kansas has their share of racing, drag racing anyways. Has Topeka, as living here in Kansas for quite a while now, is Topeka big into the kind of racing? Like, I know about the drag racing stuff, but is it big into, like, as you mentioned, here just a while ago into like stock car racing and other types of racing?
I wouldn't say particularly stock car racing. There's not really a whole bunch of stock car racing in the Kansas City area, just because a lot of the asphalt tracks are shut down. The last glimmering hope for anywhere within 4 hours of Kansas City was Lebanon I-44 Speedway, which I believe is opening up for one SRL race on August 24th. So that is one of the last close asphalt tracks. I think Topeka is a pretty good racing hub, though, for there's, I think, Heartland Park. So I think there's a dirt track there. And then there's for sure some drag racing. And I know there was a quarter midget track there because I grew up racing there, but not completely sure if it's still operational. A couple years ago, I drove by there and it was, but you just never know. But I think Topeka and Kansas City as a whole have a lot of racers because, especially in dirt, there's Heartland Park in Topeka, and then there's Lakeside in Kansas City, and there's Humboldt Speedway. So there are several, and then several dirt tracks over in Missouri. So in the Kansas City area, there are several dirt racers around.
Yeah, I've been trying to, over the past several months now, trying to research other Kansas drivers or Kansas City drivers that race around the area and things like that. And I do know about several of the tracks around there as well. I drove by Lakeside a while back, and yeah, a lot of the tracks now are, I kind of find it weird, but I kind of find they're shut down. That's kind of in nowadays of, you know, when going back to the 90s, not to try to date myself, but back in the 90s, in early 2000s, there was a huge boom of racing. Now, after kind of what happened during the whole COVID situation and whatnot, there's a lot of tracks that are now kind of unfortunately had to shut down.
Yeah, unfortunately, I hate to see that happen in the racing arena, but I do know there's also another ARCA team that's based out of, I think, the Wichita or Salina area as well. Being in Kansas, we've kind of bonded with that team over that relation, of course, but it is challenging to be in an area like that with no asphalt tracks around other than Kansas Speedway, of course, but we can't go testing there because of ARCA rules. So it is really tough because we are isolated. Other than, you know, Kansas and Iowa, we're about like a minimum of 9 hours from any other track. And so that certainly creates some challenges on the team owner side. And we would absolutely love to see some asphalt tracks be opened back up because we know there was like I-70 and Lebanon I-44 Speedway and Bolivar Speedway. Some of those tracks really housed a lot of close short track racing and asphalt. And so I really hate to see those shutting down, but would love the opportunity to go back and watch races there if I could turn back history.
That'll be great. Just turn back history and go to all these tracks and participate in races or just be a spectator and watch them, right? Yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned, and we'll get to this momentarily, Kansas Speedway, obviously, which is 2 hours away from where I'm living at. Here in Manhattan, Kansas, there is the Gateway that the Cup and Truck Racer series was at a couple weeks ago. There's Iowa, that's coming up very shortly. There's also obviously you have Texas. You mentioned IRP that you raced at for your debut. IRP, I want to stay on that for a minute. IRP was, I like that racetrack, which had a truck series, which was brought back a couple of years ago, obviously, or more recently, actually, excuse me. How did you enjoy that racetrack? Because I know back in the 90s, early 2000s, that was a hot ticket, going up there to IRP and seeing the Xfinity series, and which was the Nationwide series back then. Now the Xfinity series, and you have the truck series back racing on it with the playoffs for those guys. So how was that atmosphere like?
IRP is always a pretty natural fit for me. I have raced asphalt late models there several times. So over the last several years, I have been lucky to gain some good experience there, and then I was able to apply that to my ARCA debut. Of course, the ARCA cars are so much different than asphalt late models, but really having that background knowledge kind of gave me a leg up on other competitors that, you know, of course, may not have raced at IRP for a while, but that weekend was really an interesting weekend because, like you said, they were bringing series back to IRP and really expanding it back for ARCA and trucks. And it's really cool to see that when you see a track revived and brought back into a series, and me get to be a part of that weekend and get to compete that weekend. It's a point of honor, of course, for me. But I enjoyed that I was able to have previous experience there, that it was a little bit familiar and such a big change, like pro late models to ARCA, that I could kind of apply prior knowledge to that experience.
And now, okay, and just going back to what's more, yeah, there we go, now I got it. So what's more, what's more prestigious, you racing at down Daytona or racing up in the Indianapolis area? Which is more prestigious to you?
I think it's got to be Daytona, just because it's the true fact of it is Daytona. There's so much history there. People bring the best of the best cars to that track. They've had time to prepare, right? Because the last race of the season is October, and then you get to practice in January and then race in February. I think people just put so many resources into the Daytona race. They make sure drivers are prepared, and some of the best talent gets to go there. And that weekend was just absolutely incredible for me. I was so honored to get to race there this past year, and it was just one of those moments that you realize that I've been working my whole career for that moment. And it was that validation for myself and my team that we needed.
Mandy Chick, ARCA Menard Series driver here in the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III here. Once again, coming at you on this late Monday, June 26, 2023. You mentioned asphalt late models, right? So how's that, for our listeners, how's that differ, I guess, from a ARCA car perspective, like driving wise?
Yeah, so the cars in ARCA series are much heavier than the prolate models and have a lot more power, so that difference really translates to different technical areas of the track. So when we're driving the car into the entry of the turn, you have to be conscious of the fact that it's easy to overdrive the corner because there's so much weight in that car naturally as we set them up. And so it's the mechanics of driving a track are a lot different, especially for short tracks. Like IRP, that's a big learning curve that I had, is you have to let off the throttle a little bit earlier and use a little more brake, and then you can get back to the throttle a little earlier than normal because you keep that power curve up. So it's really interesting, just those differences in mechanics. It's, of course, racing has all the same foundational techniques, but every car is a little bit different, and ARCA is different from prolate models in the weight ratio, and then also in the in just the power.
Okay, all right, okay. And going back to the what you talked about Daytona, yeah, I lived in Florida for over 10 to 12 years, and I was able, me and my parents and my siblings went to a couple of Daytona 500s, a couple of shootouts, and yes, it's definitely one of the more prestigious racetracks in NASCAR. The history, the drivers that have won that race, so it was definitely fun. I have not been back down there since they've rebuilt, sort of quote unquote, reconfigurated Daytona with the grandstands and all that. But yeah, just going down there in itself, you can feel the atmosphere, you see, obviously, the drivers, the big stars, country, whether pop stars, football stars that we see nowadays. It's awesome to see how NASCAR has, from whether it's ARCA, Trucks Cup, how that has evolved in the last several years.
Yeah, absolutely. That evolution has been really incredible. But Daytona almost feels on race day ceremonial from the standpoint of flags are flying, people are everywhere. You know, there's the cars that, you know, are pushed out onto pit road in formation. It's just, it's one of those like incredible soak up all the moments days. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to the next time I get to go to Daytona, because that was just a once in a lifetime opportunity I would love to get to repeat.
Yeah. Which track do you like better? Plate track better? You like Daytona? I probably know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna ask you it anyway. Daytona, and you mentioned Talladega early on this episode. So, which one would you rather go back to?
I had a good run at Daytona and got a top five in my first super speedway race ever, and that was a huge accomplishment for myself and my team. But really, Talladega met us with some unfortunate circumstances that were completely out of our control, and I'd love the opportunity to go back and turn back the clock and see if we could do better next time. I think that those are factors that you can't always prevent, you know, someone getting in a wreck on the front stretch, causing someone else to hit our right side door and causing a tire wreck. Yeah. Those are just chain of event types of things. And I really loved Talladega because it's a little bit bigger than Daytona and it still has the same amount of banking. So it felt like a lot more momentum there, a lot more speed. I'm sure the speed isn't a whole lot different, but from the seat of the car, it really did feel faster. And so I really would love the opportunity to go back to Talladega. It was really cool.
Yeah. Daytona and Talladega have almost similar traits, but yeah, Talladega, you're in a bigger pack, even though Daytona, you are in a pack, but given how the track is sort of starting to age a little bit, it's a little bit more spread out than Talladega is, and yeah, so you can't do too much when somebody, Talladega is more close quarters than Daytona, in my opinion, there, and you can't really do too much with someone with one itty-bitty mistake, and your race can go sideways real quick, so
yeah,
definitely interesting to hear that from you. Yeah, I like that. So going back to your, now, you mentioned at the top of the pod, you're with a family-owned race team. Is this just your family as a whole, or you have other people involved in this race team? Just tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so myself and my parents were all partial owners of the team. As far as our members of our crew members of our team, they're all volunteer except for one of our crew members. And I'm really lucky that we've surrounded ourselves with awesome people that are dedicated to my racing and willing to, you know, volunteer their time and effort to go out on race weekends with us and see what we can do at racetracks and really work on the car with us to prepare it as well. So I think we have about five or six crew guys, and then we have our spotter and our car chief.
All right. Mandy Chick here. Team Chick Motorsports here on the 3Y Podcast with EG3. Mandy is a part of the ARCA Menard Series. Driver of the number 74 Rose Holman Chevrolet. So, all right. So, you're originally from, I might have this wrong, but I'm going to shoot from the hip anyways. You're originally from Indiana or from DeSoto, Kansas?
I'm originally from DeSoto, Kansas. I go to school in Indiana.
Okay. There we go. All right. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. All right. So you're going to school in racing. How's that been working out for you?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I have been blessed to have the opportunity to be designated as a student athlete by Rose Holman. And they've allowed me that flexibility and time to be able to go on race trips and really try to work towards my career goals and dreams, but also still come back and be able to focus and work on my schoolwork as well. So I'm going into my senior year. I'm getting my bachelor's in mechanical engineering and my master's in engineering management at the same time. So it's busy, but I'm absolutely loving it. And this summer, I'm actually up in the Detroit, Michigan area working for General Motors.
Yeah, and I was gonna get to that at the end, but since we're there, yeah, let's touch on that a little bit there. That's exciting. So congratulations on getting the intern at General Motors, which obviously Detroit, Michigan, you think about that as being the ultra hub of the manufacturers, right? Chevrolet, Ford, and I know I'm leaving a couple out, but those are some that come to my mind, obviously, there. Have you started that internship already?
Yes, I have. I am going into my fourth week of my internship. So I am here all the way until August 25th, right before our Milwaukee race.
All right. How's a day in the life of an intern at General Motors for you going? How's that like?
Going really well. I am really enjoying getting to work for General Motors. They are a wonderful company to work for, and people who are just so kind and helpful. As an intern, getting into just such a big world that they have and such large campuses and communities, it's really interesting, all of the things that I'm picking up and learning by the day, but so enjoying working for them. One of their big values is work appropriately, so it's kind of like a hybrid structure. So we are in office 2 days a week and then working from home the rest of the week, which allows me some flexibility to travel for racing or visit family as well. So really enjoying working for General Motors. They've been fantastic, and I'm getting really great experience with them.
You guys are listening to the 3Y Podcast with EG3, recording this special edition episode June 26, 2023. Manny Chick, part of the Arca Menard series, driver of the number 74 Rose Holman Chevrolet. This episode will be out after the inaugural cup race at Chicago, the Chicago Street Course race, which I'm excited about that this weekend as well. So figure that we have a Midwest driver on. We have a Midwest race this week. It's going to be exciting, folks. Mandy, speaking of Midwest, going back to Kansas, right? I was not at the ARCA race a few months ago when the Cup and Xfinity, no, wait, Truck and Cup Series race was in KC, Kansas for that. Obviously, Kansas, your home track, obviously. What does it all, I know you probably mentioned this already, but what does it mean racing at your home track, Kansas Speedway, not too far from DeSoto? I've driven by DeSoto plenty of times, but haven't actually like seen it, but I've driven by it a lot, especially this year. What does it mean to you to race at your home track, not too far away? And you had a great run at Kansas Speedway. So what did that feel like for you emotionally?
For us, that weekend really was all the pieces that came together. We were able to have a lot of family members and close family friends there at the racetrack with us. I think we ended up having like 40 people in the pits with us. it's just such a large race that so many people wanted to see. And I was just honored to be able to represent my hometown and my home state in a race so local to us. And really it was, like I said, all the pieces that came together, because I have been looking at Kansas Speedway since I was little, driven by it almost every week since I was a tiny child. And I have always said every time I pass that I'm going to race there one day. And so just having that history of me being able to attend races there before for many, many years, and then now be able to actually race there, it was just, I was in awe the whole weekend, and it was so surreal for me. I don't think I even processed it until after the race, but it was so meaningful for myself and my family that, you know, we got to field an entry in our closest home track.
That's fantastic right there. Pretty much living out your full-time dream right there. Being able to race at your home track. That's awesome there, right there. That's awesome. So having that many people in your pit box, was that a culture shock, or was that just exciting to see some of your sponsors, some of your friends and family to fill out your lifetime dream of racing at home?
Well, it certainly was a lot, but it was really meaningful to see that I had so many people around. I believe when we tallied up, we had a ticket promotion as well. Kansas Speedway, my home track, was so kind to accommodate putting together a ticket link that provided my fans and family with discounted tickets that sat them all kind of in the same, like, similar fan section. And we sold nearly 160 tickets that weekend. And then also still had like 40 in the pits with us. So I really felt like I was surrounded by friends and family all weekend. But it also was overwhelming because I knew that I just still had a job to do and needed to focus on that. I get a little nervous at racetracks just because I have a lot of pressure on myself to perform well. And typically can't eat a whole bunch on race day. Like, I'll chug a protein shake in the morning and maybe have a couple crackers, and that's about it on race days. But really, that weekend, I was a ball of nerves. I was so nervous, but it was so meaningful to me to have so many wonderful people surrounding me on a really big day in my career.
And kind of going backwards a little bit, back to mechanical engineering, I've almost went into that field while at K-State. Well, I actually was in the field for a couple weeks, and then decided I wanted to go another direction. I'm a math nerd myself, but that and almost walking onto the track and field team was going to be too much. So I chose a kind of a different path for myself there. So mechanical engineering is in racing. That those go together, and I know Ryan Newman had a degree in engineering of some sort there as well. Do you enjoy, you know, that side of it?
Absolutely. I have been working hands-on on my race cars since I was 10 years old, and that's really working in the shop every weekend with my dad and my grandpa on our race cars, and being hands-on and just learning really sparked my passion for engineering, because I started to see different things on the car and ask why they were certain ways or how we can improve it, or, you know, started coming up with some different ideas on how we could improve some of the technology on our car. And so really that passion for engineering started in my race shop, working hands-on there. And then I found Rose Holman, a family member or a family friend that was also involved in racing told me about Rose Holman, and they have a huge background in racing. Of course, Tim Cindric, president of Team Penske, is a graduate of Rose Holman. Mm. And then several other successful people in racing as well have graduated from Rose. And so I really knew that it was the place for me once I got there and found the community, loved the close-knit community, and then knew that they had some racing involvement. But I always say that the engineering helps my racing because it helps me have more holistic vision of what is happening on the race car. But also, my racing helps my engineering because I have experienced the real life phenomena that I am learning in the classroom. So it's been really interesting to see how both of those benefit each other, but I have absolutely loved combining those.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth there. That NASCAR and engineering of any sort lines together there. What's your favorite part to work on your race car? Do you have a favorite part you like to work on? You like to work on several things, or is it a variety? Or which part of the car that you love joining work on the most?
Well, I can do a variety of things. I absolutely love working on the suspension part of my cars. just understanding track and spring travel and spring rates is really interesting to me. But in the prolate models, I did all of my own rear end setups and set different, you know, locations for suspension. So that's something that I have a lot of experience in and I really enjoyed. So, yeah, I really enjoy the suspension side, but can do many, many things on our cars.
Cool, cool. And on kind of the women's side of racing and NASCAR in general, obviously there's you, Tori Breidinger, we recently here, Haley Deegan, and several others are trying to have more ladies in the sport. I've had several ladies already here on the podcast here, trying to be a more diverse group. We see women on cup teams working on cars, we see crew chief, car chiefs, things like that. What are you wanting to kind of inspire other young ladies who want to, what is your message to other young ladies that want to take part in the sport of racing?
Yeah, so my big thing is that you can't have big success without a strategy and a plan. So I always say your number one step is to put together a plan of what you want to do and how you're going to get there, and what resources you have around to be able to boost yourself towards that big goal. But for me, it's also, I try to encourage people to have hard work and dedication. I have run through many many obstacles and challenges throughout my 15-year racing career, and then even in my engineering degree, of course, that's very challenging, but having that perseverance and that determination to just continue going with the future of your goal in mind is really important, because you really can't have anything without that persistence and determination, but also without a strategic plan. You need to kind of know what that trail should look like.
Interesting that you have to have, first off, obviously you have to plan. There's that. And then, yeah, nowadays you hear, in this day and age now, at least for me, when I hear, I guess, other people talk about whether it's the work, normal work field, or trying to get to certain places, that the work ethic is especially that part. People don't have to drive. People are relying on social media. People are being, you know, lazy and all that. So that's critical. That's a key right there. First is hard work. You got to have that drive. If you don't, whether that's trying to be in a sport or in other sports for that matter, you're not going to go very far. So it's very, I like, that's interesting coming from you. I like that you got to have the drive. You got to have some sort of a plan first and then go from there. But if you don't have, unfortunately, have that succession, you got to have a backup plan as well.
Absolutely.
So you got to have an A and you got to have a plan A and a plan B, right? or otherwise, you're kind of stuck, if you will.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
The interesting thing about plan Bs and backup plans is that they may actually turn into your primary plan of what you love.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what I've had with engineering is I always decided that I was going to go to school for a mechanical engineering degree just as a backup. And then I started learning things and really enjoyed it. And now it's going to be a primary alongside of my racing career, because in my mind, why can't I do both, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
That's the thing about the evolution of backup plans and strategic plans, is you really kind of find what you love.
Yeah, that's kind of sticking on the plan B. That's kind of what I found myself at as well. So, yeah, so it's always nice, you know, to have that backup plan just in case, you know, plan A doesn't work. But, yeah, so I like that as well. So I'm on kind of that plan B road right now, currently as I'm at now. So very funny that you say that as well. Manny Chick here on the 3Y podcast with EG3, driver of the number 74 Rolls Holman Chevrolet, going into her senior year. Currently her major is in engineering, mechanical engineering. There are too many engineering names here, but she's going into her master's as well, doing it all at the same time, driving a race car as well. So off of the, your schedule, how many more races you guys are planning on trying to enter in the ARCA series?
Yeah, right now that is kind of up in the air based on some schedule constraints I may have with internship and starting school. But we're thinking about four will finish off our season. So we still have some races planned on deck. If you look at it, we're just before halfway in our season. So we've still got a lot of racing to do. And I'm really excited to start putting those plans together and start announcing those soon. But we're just waiting on some last minute schedule confirmations, and then we will set our plan in motion.
Awesome. And speaking of your sponsor, Rose Holman, will you have any more sponsors, or is Rose Holman going to be with you from here on to the end of your race schedule?
So Rose Holman was primary for Daytona and Talladega. So that was, they were sponsored for those races. And then for the rest of the season, we are sponsored by Dynamic Drivelines, FK Roddins, Fergola Performance Systems, JRC CPA LLC, ProFab Headers, and Aero Race Wheels. So we've kind of got a mix of awesome people supporting us. I'm super thankful for all of their support.
Great, great. That is great to hear. So here we got a few more minutes with you here on the podcast. Appreciate your time here to join the podcast. What is your, do you have a favorite racetrack to go to? Do you have a favorite track to go spectate? What is your favorite track to go to if you have one?
So I don't know that I have specific tracks to go spectate at, but I really enjoy going down to the Missouri dirt tracks and getting to watch some friends race and visit some old friends from when I raced at Lebanon I-44 Speedway. And so I get to go to Peavely down there in Missouri and Lebanon Midway as well, and then sometimes Springfield. In some areas there, but I'm also, now that I'm up here in Detroit for the summer, I also got to go watch one of my dear friends, Kyle Mackey, race at Birch Run, and I truly enjoyed getting to go watch some friends race there too. So I really, on off weekends, I certainly don't shy away from racing. I love getting to go support friends, but don't particularly have a favorite racetrack. I think I just absolutely love, if I'm at a racetrack, I am happy.
So, hey, that's nothing wrong with that. Always a good day when you're able to be at the racetrack, whether it's working on your car, trying to drive fast, or being a part of competition, or just seeing your couple of friends race. It's a good day. It's a good day. So kind of bouncing off of that, have you ever gone to a actual NASCAR truck race or a cup race or an Xfinity race or anything along the lines of that?
Yeah, I had the pleasure to be in the pits at all of the NASCAR truck, Xfinity, and cup races at Bristol a couple years ago. So I got to go to be in the pits all weekend there. And absolutely loved that. And then also I had the opportunity a few years ago to go in the pits with Mike Mittler of MB Motorsports, and absolutely loved that opportunity. It was right before he passed away, and I'm so thankful I had that time to get to spend with him. He's a dear friend of our family, and so I got to sit on the top of the pit box with him, and Bobby Pierce was racing for him that night and did an incredible job. And that was just an awesome experience for me. And I am really glad I had that time with Mike Mittler before he passed.
Sorry to hear that.
Thanks.
Rest in peace, Mike Mittler. So now have you stayed in touch with what's going on in the Cup Series at all, or you've been focused on your internship, your race team, and your cars?
I would say 50-50 split. I've been super busy between internship and some summer classes and race cars, but I hear about certain things happening in the Cup Series.
Okay. And kind of backing up the car for a minute here. Do you have a favorite thing to do as an intern at General Motors? Do you have a favorite thing that stands out, or do you like all what's been going on so far during your time at General Motors?
Yeah, my experience at General Motors so far has been absolutely incredible, and I've really enjoyed it as an intern. One of the really cool things that they have on their Global Technical Center campus is it's a coal engineering building, which is massive, and it is so modern and beautiful, and they've got a Starbucks and several food cafes there, and they've got just a beautiful landscape around there, and they bring in food trucks every Thursday as well. So getting to connect with the community, meet new people, the General Motors community is so kind and welcoming. So I find someone in the hallway every day that introduces themselves to me and notices that I'm new, and that's just been a really cool opportunity, and kind of getting to hear what the future of General Motors looks like and tour a lot of different places on their campus and hear about different things that I have heard for many, many years.
Very interesting. Exciting and interesting, yeah. And kind of rewinding back to early in this podcast, before you got into racing, you said you played volleyball. What position did you play in volleyball?
I was setter in my volleyball team, so I really enjoyed that, and I loved playing volleyball, but certainly did not have the skill in playing volleyball that I did in racing.
definitely racing definitely chose you. And you're pretty good at what you're doing right now.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So I cannot end this podcast. Obviously, Kansas, you think about obviously Kansas Speedway. And I cannot leave this podcast without asking you. Obviously, you mentioned before races you couldn't eat too much, obviously, because you're so focused on what you're worried about or focused on what you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to do in the race car. I got to ask you about, first off, barbecue. Do you like barbecue?
I love barbecue, and I am proud to say that Kansas City barbecue is the absolute best.
There we go. There it is. Yeah, I've asked that question. I have another podcast that I host with my co-host, Alex. And with our guest on that podcast, we asked the question of, do you like barbecue? If so, do you like Kansas City? There's Memphis or there's Texas, whatnot. And obviously, with you, I definitely thought of you as a Kansas City barbecue person. Mm-hmm.
You are ever in the Kansas City area, you've got to go to Smoketown Barbecue. It's near the Mission, Kansas area, and it's just absolutely incredible.
I never heard of that one.
You'll have to go. It's fairly new, with some former employees of Johnny's Barbecue, but it's a fantastic restaurant.
And you said this is Smoketown?
Smoketown Barbecue.
Okay, I'm gonna write that down right now. I've never heard of that one. Obviously, you hear Arthur Bryant's, Jack Stack. I know I'm leaving out a couple others that I can't think of right now, but that's a new one there. Interesting.
There's like, I think, Q39 and Brobeck, some of those places as well. But really, I'm a true Smoketown Barbecue fan.
Yeah, definitely have to check that one out. I do have a couple more KC trips coming here in the next few weeks. I definitely have to try to check that one out for sure.
You should.
sounds good. Let's see. So, do you have any more goals you want to try? Obviously, you want to graduate. I know that's one of them. Besides that, you have any goals that you're trying to shoot for here in the rest of the year?
Not particularly in the rest of the year, just have some solid finishes in the rest of our ARCA races for the rest of the season, and then really put some solid pieces together to have close to or at a full-time schedule next year. So still kind of up in the air on what our schedule next year looks like, but really hoping we can put the pieces together to be more full-time. I'm really enjoying my time in the ARCA series, so I think it would be only fitting to finish off my senior year and finish off my master's credits, getting to race ARCA full-time.
All right, awesome. And do you have any futuristic goals of trying to, as you say, you've been with your family, obviously racing your entire life. You have any inspirations of moving up to the next levels, or you just want to stay put? Do you have any inspirations to move up, or you just love where you're at right now? You guys love where you're at right now.
Of course, I would love to have an opportunity to continue moving up through the ranks. I've always wanted to make it to the NASCAR Cup Series level, so I would never turn down an opportunity to do that. But I also think that we are really enjoying the ARCA team right now and think that this is a long-term sustainable program for myself and my family, no matter what happens as far as upper levels of NASCAR goes. So even if I get opportunities to run in the upper levels of NASCAR, I think in some shape, some form or fashion, we'll always have an ARCA car.
And I got two more questions for you before I let you go. Appreciate you taking the time during your super busy schedule, I'm imagining, here on the 3Y podcast with EG3, joined by Mandy Chick, part-time driver of in the ARCA Menards series. It's number 74 Chevy. One of her sponsors is her university, Rose Holman University in Indiana. Mandy, do you have you said during this interview today that you hear some things about the Cup Series. Do you have a favorite Cup driver, or are you just too tuned in what you got going on right now?
I really have several that I've had my eyes on in the Cup Series, and I think that several of them are doing well, but I was super excited to see one of my close friends, Carson Hocevar, get a good opportunity there as well. I grew up racing with Carson Hocevar, and he's just a great guy who loves what he does, loves racing, and would do anything to continue racing. And so it was really cool to see him get an opportunity.
Speaking of Carson Hocevar, he won over the weekend in Nashville. The Truck Series has got his second win there after finally breaking through, getting his first longtime win in the trucks back at Texas a couple of months ago. He just got a second win over the weekend at Nashville, so he was pretty pumped up about that. So very awesome. And I probably know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna ask anyways. Are you binging anything? Are you taking the time out to watch any TV shows that you're watching, or are you just again focused on what you got going on with racing, your race team, your dad, your grandpa? Are you binge watching anything during the stretch of school and racing?
So actually, yes. I'm surprised to say this, but I mentioned earlier I've gotten the opportunity to travel a little bit this summer, and I'm about to embark on another journey and adventure on a vacation for another, I think, 2 weeks while everyone is on vacation at work. So I typically will download different shows and watch while I'm on the plane flying, because of course typically I'm a road tripper, but it's way too far to drive. So I have just finished watching all seasons of Ted Lasso, so that's a really good show. And now my roommate is getting me into Criminal Minds, so that's really interesting. Kind of a mix of what I've watched in the past. I watched Yellowstone and absolutely loved that, and then of course Outer Banks, which is popular for people my age. Yep. I really loved Outer Banks as well. So several big favorites of mine, but Yeah, it's always fun to get to play something while I'm traveling, just because it's a good break from school and work and all of that. It's a good brain break.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good brain break there to get into diving into other shows like that. Yeah, I know a couple shows that you mentioned. I have not seen Ted Lasso, but I have watched plenty of Criminal Minds. I have not watched the latest season. I needed to get on that, hopefully, soon. Criminal Minds.
I just started the first season this week. It's fine.
Okay. you got ways to go on that one.
I have a lot to catch up on.
Yep. But I have not watched Ted Lasso. I know that's good from a lot of my friends. Uh-huh. So Outer Banks, I've not watched the latest season. That is definitely a popular show as well. So very fun. One last question. A place that you have not gone to on your wish list what's on top of your list right now as far as places that you have not visited yet?
Okay, so I'll give you two because one of them is about to come true. I have never been to Estes Park, Colorado, and I'm very excited to go there. It's myself and my boyfriend and then both of our sets of parents. And we are taking a road trip to Estes Park over the week of 4th of July. So that'll be an absolute blast. go there and go hiking and really kind of get a break from all the craziness and busy of our schedule. But past that, since I'm kind of cheating because, you know, it's about to come true. The next thing at the top of my list to see is Santorini, Greece. I know I'm a little bit out from that just because it's busy and I don't have much time to go out of the country, but I'd love to go there someday.
That is definitely up there. I've been to Colorado only a couple of times. Never been to Estes Park before, so I can't give you any suggestions there. But yeah, Greece, that's awesome. Awesome to hear that there as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Manny Chick here in the 3Y Podcast with EG3 today on the show. Manny Chick, driver of the number 74, Rose Holman Chevy, part-time Arkham Menards series. Mandy, thank you so much. This was awesome conversation with you here this afternoon / early evening. Appreciate you for giving us almost an hour of your time here. Good luck. Early congratulations. Good luck the rest of the way and have some fun the rest of the year.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Is waved on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast where podcasts are found. Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Thank you for listening.